Welcome, Joel, to Critical Clicks! Euro Clicks! Damn my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Euro Clicks!
Give it up for Joel's host,
Lucas Van Holland.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton.
Hey guys, this is Lucas Van Holland, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player, where we put the hard R rating in HeroClix. And me and Lucas today are going to be talking about, drumroll please,
Pulp.
Motherfucker. My favorite format. There is 400 point apples and oranges event, which means 400 points of pulp and 400 points of essentially themed modern 400 points.
Yep.
With no ability to do duplicates. Is that a fair enough assessment of that?
Yep. 400 points Highlander theme only. So the characters have to have the keyword printed on their cards. So Scott Porters are only playable if you decide to go celebrity. And if you go to celebrity, good luck.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there, I can't remember, is there objects or no?
Yeah, there's equipment, tarot, all of that is all legal. The only thing you have to worry about is your figures on your force have to all share the same printed keyword, and your sideline has to share the same printed keyword. There is only one sideline element per 100 points of the build total.
All right. Hey, so this is a fun format. We have this. We're going to go over it fairly briefly. This is interesting. Pulp is interesting because as you can see, if you look at HC units, you're going to see 292 pulp teams with Necron, 268 with Blackheart, 266 with Orb. And then you're going into 245 with Poison Ivy, Doctor Strange, Red Widow, Captain Marvel, Blue Marvel. Those are all the people in the 200. You're going to see the shit out of them. Then you're going to see quite a drop, almost a half drop, to get to Deathstroke, Falcon. The shocking one for me is Harley Quinn, but I'm assuming that's just because of Poison Ivy. Black Adam, which people like for some reason. Deadshot, Manifold, Leader, Mr. Sinister, Zarathos, and then we start getting into things that are shocking to me, which is Joker, Ghazar Goon, and Ra's al Ghul. Aunt May,
what month are you in? Points.
This one?
Yeah, look, I'm in January as well, and I'm not seeing that many.
Oh, you can select month?
Yeah.
So I have main force, advanced search units, main force. What are you looking at? How do you select the month?
So I go to explore in the top left.
Explore.
And then click the meta.
Ah, look at that.
And then you can go to modern age pulp, main force, January 2024 or December.
Ooh, okay.
And so the order of which Scott was,
I don't know if January is good enough, to be honest.
So let's go to December 2023. Let's be honest with ourselves. The order of which Scott was,
Lucas, by the way, is
pretty close.
Drunk, just so we're clear, Lucas is drunk.
Yes. I've been drunk for an entire week.
I don't like the low numbers here. You're talking 85, 83 and stuff.
Yeah,
but the
figures are pretty sound. Our top figures are Blackheart, Orb, Necron, Doctor Strange, Red Widow. I mean, those are known. Top five, that's a solid fucking top five. Let's be honest here.
It is. And the thing about basically what's so different about pulp right now is Blackheart. So most people know Blackheart, but we're just going to say out loud, monsters and mysticals. He's going to be able to move them usually at least six away, which on a small map is huge. And on a big map is still fucking huge. And he does it for free and he moves two of them.
Places.
Yeah, he just places two of them. He's going to be able to move them in front of himself, so six away. But he can also, you know, have shield next to him. There's a ton of ways he can make that even more brutal to get to seven or eight away. And when you go into Monster and Mystical, Monster obviously has a lot of different options. The two that are most going to be very common, though, is Necron is going to jump up there because he can, you know, immediately start healing. And that's the best way to move him. And then the orb is stupidly broken because it's so easy for him to do a critical hit with a energy explosion. And it's honestly not even impossible for him to do a charge flurry. Both are really
orb's biggest help is that it pretty much makes it like it's not impossible, obviously, but he has prob. It's very unlikely that orb misses his attacks in pulp.
It is.
It's Orb is so, almost always hitting. And if you're lucky, it's a crit hit. But he's literally just he's just hitting all the time.
He's just hitting all the time. So I'm going to go with some honorable mentions because Blackheart. There's basically the thing to talk about are how do you play Blackheart? And the second thing to talk about is how do you not die to Blackheart? Let's start. How do you play Blackheart? So just options off the bat. I'm looking at monster right now. So we mentioned the two biggest. Zarathos, even at 125, is a reasonable idea. I don't think that's the right move, but it is a reasonable idea.
He is reasonably durable in pulp.
Mm-hmm.
He does not die in one hit. He doesn't die in two hits. He has
two stop clicks at 125. And for a psychic blast of six range, 12, four prob enhancement, he's good. He's very good. That's very, very good. One that I like, but I have a feeling will not get played. I get it. But one that I like is Dracula. why do I like Dracula? The only reason to like Dracula is simply this. If he gets going, he can win you the game single-handedly. That's it. One thing that people are neglecting on him is when he kills something, they stand next to a vampire, and the vampires are actually fucking good. So that is something. I like Dracula for a lot of reasons. I'm always trying to push down Dracula, but the problem is it just the vampires are come on and click three, and they have shape change and four clicks with toughness. So it's kind of fucked up. Now you cannot equip anybody, even though there are uncommon equipments. Is that correct or am I wrong?
That is correct. It is only figures for pulp.
Yes. So you can't give him the thing that you really want to give him, which is, you know, hyperspeed. Yeah. You want hyperspeed on him. So the problem is there's a good likelihood you can get him to charge, flurry, stealth, 12, 19, invincible and exploit, but then they're going to all attack him. So the question is, does that become worth it? Like if you get off the first thing, if you're playing monster and you want to go first or something of that nature, is that becoming good enough? It's probably not, but it's not definitely not.
Definitely. Yeah, Dracula is one of those things where I personally probably wouldn't play him, but I could see how somebody could make it to the finals in pulp.
Yeah.
Playing him if they play him correctly with a good support structure, because if he, like Scott said, if he is allowed to make a few attacks early, he can get out of hand really fucking quickly.
Really fucking quickly. That's the big thing for him. If he kills something, you're fucked. And, you know, with Blackheart, I don't think that's unlikely. And then
especially in 400 points.
Yeah. So if you haven't played this yet, this is the old Marvel Zombies problem, right? Where they start turning your force against you. And that concept is much more problematic than it sounds. But again, 125 is a little too much. And he can't be given flurry and he can only charge four. So it's a question of how much do you want to do that, you know?
Yep.
Because he is not very killable, but he's pretty killable. And I don't think he shares, like if anybody, Night Nurse would be great for him, but I don't think he shares a keyword with her.
No, he doesn't. His biggest benefit in pulp is that he does have the engagement with Blackheart to give him the extra reach. Mm. But once he's out there and attacking, he is on his own. So you really, really need that initial attack to score you some points and get an extra vampire out there. If it doesn't work, you're probably in trouble. But if it does, you might be okay. So,
so one other character that is being slept on a little bit for this is Sasquatch. Do I think Sasquatch is must play? No. But do I think Sasquatch is better than he's getting credit for? Yes. Here are the reasons. He is an outwitter. An outwit is not super common. And even Clay's team, for example, had you paying a little bit for an outwit. He's an outwitter. He can charge with leap climb. Then he quakes. And after he quakes, he can make a train action as free. And he has super strength. So those kind of things. Now you're not dealing with a super terrain here, but he is a barrier. He is a fuck you barrier piece. So if you're worried about barrier, now all of a sudden Sasquatch just destroys the concept of you having barrier. He can pick up one, he can quake the rest, and then he can hit you with the barrier he picked up.
And once again, in 400 points, Sasquatch's point value of 85 becomes a lot more bearable.
It does. It does. And he's not an easy kill. But the big thing is he also has prob and 11 attack, and he pairs so well. We've mentioned Orb. We've mentioned Necron. I don't particularly think Bizarro is playable. I think that Red Hulk and She-Hulk and Abomination, I feel like those are going by the wayside. Symbiote is somebody that I think is very, very good. Symbiote is some of the best 30 points in pulp, and fucking floors me that more people do not play him. Floors me.
Yeah, rollouts are really good unless they face a whole bunch of outwits. Those rollouts are.
It's double rollouts. He's five fucking clicks for 30 points, and he has blades. Blades is very important. Red Raven. I'm not sure why Red Raven is not a character that people are considering here. I think it's because everybody just views her as somebody who comes in for free, but what a colossal fucker of people, right? Charges in, blades, charge, flurry, blades, ignore shape change. And then if you get the rally die, she just becomes broken with the steel energy and the colossal and stuff like that. I don't think there's any more people in that camp. Do you have any mystical people that you want to mention with Blackheart that you're considering?
So obviously we've already talked about Orb. Orb is the major mystical player.
Yep.
Is
Death Rider playable? Probably not.
Yeah, no. I mean, realistically, no. I could see somebody trying to make a character like Moon Knight playable just because he does have wild card and has the empower enhancement or prob, depending.
Why is 60 point Ghost Rider bad? Doesn't he do a lot?
So 60 point Ghost Rider, then the nice thing about him is he has a long range charge, even for the newer characters.
Very long, five, and then a giant reach of two.
Yep. And he has a 19 defense with defenders, and every friendly character who's been damaged this turn has defenders, which means that if they're next to him, they're defending a 19. They also gain mystics. I mean, that's a good effect. The biggest issue I have with Ghost Rider is he's an 11 for three that if he takes three damage becomes effectively useless for the remainder of the game.
I think if he's adjacent to people, he's good, but yes, I hear you. My biggest problem with him is make a close attack targeting all adjacent opposing characters, but then they gave him giant reach too. So effectively, you're not doing it. The big thing about him is it's not a 11-3. He is doing, instead of normal damage, roll a d6 and divide damage equal to the results among all hit characters. He basically has blades that you can divide in a sexy way with exploit.
Yeah, so I wish he was worded the same as Deathstroke.
What about Electra? Why is Electra bad? Electra feels great to me, other than
my biggest issue with Electra is that she's so expensive.
She is, talk about with Blackheart, she can get around on a big map.
Yeah, she absolutely can. And she maintains the 18 defense most of the time. She's eight clicks deep for 80 points.
Never a bad click.
Yeah.
And you can pick different characters. It's very easy to give her precision strike, I believe, an exploit. And then she can change it every turn. I looked at a bunch of different characters. She can have one of the more interesting things she could have is TK. Let's see. What was it? It's mystical, right?
Yeah.
Is that no? It's martial artists. Martial artists.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going down to mystical. People like Black Adam. Like Black Adam as far as a character for him to carry. I do think
400 points. Blackheart plus Black Adam at 200 is absolutely okay.
Boo.
It's okay. It really is.
It's okay. Because I think everyone should play it against me.
First, I mean, for whatever it's worth, Black Adam. So Black Adam at 200 is just really, really difficult to put down every game. So I played him at Worlds and teams, team Worlds
sealed, team sealed.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's fair. But every single game until my last game, my opponents hit me to click 5 or 6 or 7 and then just struggled to be able to put him down for the rest of the game. His Mystic's damage that he dishes out adds up so incredibly quickly. People are not ready for it. They really aren't.
So I'm against Black Adam in general, but I will say this. We're in a weird time in which you're going to get a ton of like alpha strikes because of this. And he is something that says, okay, are you really going to alpha strike me?
Nope.
Because you can't energy explode necessarily. Friendly characters in range and line of fire can mastermind and choose Black Adam. And then he deals 1 penetrating each opposing character within 3 squares of the attacker. That is a decent deterrent. It really is.
It's a lot of feedback damage. There is not a lot of invincible in pulp. There's just not.
There's not. And people are dealing
with feedback damage, especially when people's tendencies to group up. It adds up very, very quickly. Your question was about mystical and a couple of other characters that are big for mystical. I think one of the big ones is the Spider-Man Beyond Amazing, 041 Doctor Strange. So he has defend 18.
Are you saying Spider-Man or are you saying Doctor Strange?
The set is Spider-Man Beyond Amazing.
Oh, okay. New set.
Yeah. 041 Doctor Strange. He is 8 clicks deep for 75 points, but he has a defense power, which is defend. And if he can use ESD, adjacent friendly characters can use ESD. Which is a very, very solid play against characters like Orb and Necron. Because, yes, Orb might crit hit, and if he does, it is what it is. But Necron having to shoot against 20 defenses on average against characters is pretty, it's unfavorable for him.
It is. I do think Dr. Strange, I commend you. I don't do that often, but I do think Dr. Strange is very good. And then he is a decent attacker once you start going with the idea that Blackheart is carrying him around or placing him.
11 for 3 with energy
explosion. Double target energy explosion, which is very, very good.
And Red Raven is mystical as well. You know, we already talked about her being charged flurry, blades, battle fury, which is nice versus the shape change. You get into the uncommon Doctor Strange from Avengers Forever. I have touted him for a while. I played him on my world's winning build.
He's a 4 damage. Like 4 damage is just rare in this, you know, like it's just
wrong Doctor Strange.
Oh, then you're wrong.
I'm definitely not.
60 you know, Doctor Strange is very good.
But yeah, he absolutely is. But the uncommon from Avengers Forever is very solid. He's a leadership. He's a perplex.
He's everywhere. You're going to tons of people.
Then another one to consider. I know you're already playing Blackheart for the placement, but what's better than, you know, Blackheart reach is Khazar reach on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Khazar being able to send a character even farther down range. You're talking about, you know, just unparalleled alpha.
Very true. Very, very true. And note that they don't, you can also use it to pull them back. So an interesting idea is to, you know, hyperspeed, then pull Blackheart back or something like that. You know, you hyperspeed with like Electra, then pull Blackheart back out of the fray or something of that nature, you know?
Yep. The final one is, I know he doesn't get a sword, but a character that's worth considering is 032 Wolverine. from Ten of Swords.
Yeah, I looked at that too. 12 attack is very good. He never
attack, 12 dies. Speed with improved movement characters.
Mm-hmm. And he never dies. That's the big thing. I wish you could do something else. He's also leadership, which doesn't, like, you don't definitely have leadership on your team. You know, it's not like this vanilla character has it that I can think of.
But he, the thing with Wolverine is he's another one of those characters, no matter what click he's on, it doesn't feel terrible. Like, yeah, the leap climb on 4 and 5 are not great. But
no,
in all honesty, if he's already based with somebody, I would take clicks 4 and 5, 11 or 12 for 3. Fucking send
and
it.
On a 400 point game, he almost definitely comes back is the problem.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the big thing. And he just keeps, he's annoying. Like, he's a war of attrition piece. And this is like how everybody's talking about this. It's a war of attrition game now, is Paul. So we're now going to go, we've talked about how deadly fucking Blackheart is. And just to really state out loud, you're going to have to deal with a lot of alpha. And that is problematic. And you will also have to be able to alpha. So one way to do this is simply trying to build theme so that you go first and that you have the alpha. But let's be realistic. That's not going to definitely work.
Correct.
It's just not like you're going to loot. You're going to have +3 against somebody and miss it. And sometimes you're going to have +3 against +3 and they have the same idea. So what is the defense now? What is the fucking defense now? How do you deal with that? There's only 3 or 4 different ways to get around alpha.
It's funny that you say that.
Yes.
Because with the amount of little plink damage and small amounts of damage that come through, it does make me feel better about characters like Black Adam, especially at 400 points, because Black Adam is not getting one turned by most teams that we've described. Red Widow, yes. Red Widow has the ability to make it happen. But
yes,
she does. I mean, is assuming the dice go well for her. But if we're talking about things like Orb and Blackheart and Necron, Black Adam is actually a pretty solid defensive structure to play against a those sort of characters. He doesn't just bend over, and every time they hit him, they're taking feedback damage.
Mm-hmm. Now, on Orb, that feels like it barely matters because he's 400 clicks long, but and they're all the same click.
But Blackheart taking a couple clicks of damage really quickly, that adds up.
It is. I almost make an assumption that Blackheart dies after turn one, but I could be wrong because people might just let him live because they have to feel like they have to deal with Necron before it ramps up or something like that. So I'd like to play a game, and the game is basically this. All defense. Everybody's talking like they go first and they alpha. That's a great idea if you are lucky. And if you want to play out, if you want to play like you're lucky, great. But what is the actual defensive thing that you can do? How do you actually deal with this? So in defense, there is, you can't see me to hit. You can't hit me because my defense is too high. You can't kill me because I'm just impossible to kill, like a don't die scenario. Or barrier, which probably falls under, you can't see me yet. You can't see.
So me. The first figure for that depth that I have is number 33 on the list that I'm looking at. And it's definitely one of those things where it's a, you can't kill me because I'm too thick.
Mm-hmm.
Is 037A Hulk.
Yes. And don't forget, he can be played with Night Nurse because they're both scientists. And
Hulk is not a scientist. Hulk is Avengers, Brute, and Defenders.
Hold on one sec. What, I might be thinking of a different Hulk.
Yep. This is 037A from Avengers 60. So he's 100 points. But the thing to keep in mind with him is
yes, he can work with Night Nurse. They're both Defenders.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the thing to keep in mind with him is he has traded willpower. His defense powers have protected outwit, so you can't get rid of his invincible. Like, yeah, you can pulse wave him, but oh well, he's 9 clicks deep. One click of pulse wave damage isn't going to fucking matter.
And I don't know who has pulse wave on top of that.
Other than Blue Marvel.
Sure, good point.
And
but Blue Marvel has hyperspeed, right? So his problem is he can't hyperspeed Pulse Wave.
Or Blue Marvel, you play Blue Marvel at 50 points. He has Running Shot, Pulse Wave.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
But the other thing is just like the Prime Hulk that makes his way through the meta game, the 37A Hulk, he also has the Path of Destruction trait. So when he's given an action after resolution's resolved, if he destroys a piece of terrain during that action,
healing. Click.
So yeah, let's say you hit him to click four, but then he just charges through a square of blocking and then quakes and destroys another square of blocking. He potentially heals two additional clicks. Let's say one of those is a barrier, so he gets to roll for that, and suddenly he's back on click one.
Yep.
It can be very difficult to pin him down if you do not have a surefire strategy for taking him out immediately.
Absolutely. I think so we're going to build a team of defense. I like that idea. I would add him to the scratch space, and then I'm going to add nice Night Nurse to the scratch space here. And I'll share a screen, Lucas, so you can kind of play along too.
I think another one to add to the scratch space is Militant.
Okay, just for the high defense.
The 19 defend. I mean, the increasing the odds that your opponent might miss is never a bad thing. Right, especially since there's not as many stat manipulations in pulp.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I think Orb is tough, but I think you're probably playing Orb, period. Unless you're going, I don't want to go with the route of saying I'm going to try to go first. I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So
better to have a more well-rounded team.
What I'd like to talk about is powers, which are what's getting around barrier right now? Like when, for example, Clay's team or some other teams, it feels like barrier wins some of the time.
So if it's an indoor map versus a bunch of barrier, with a team that like Clay had posted, you probably realistically have to play a squad that plays the War of Attrition well. Like you have to be well versed enough with your team to handle that War of Attrition. But let's assume that we're looking at barrier and only barrier. Characters like Hulk that can just run through the barrier.
Huge. I know
you've touted Mr. Freeze. Notorious 040 Mr. Freeze. Mm-hmm. He has improved targeting, destroys blocking, so he can shoot through blocking.
I think the first character I'd like to add for defense team is Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, 35 points.
So 35 points Scarlet Witch is perplex, barrier, and prob, but only to target opposing characters.
And
so,
TK.
Yeah, and TK. So her right there to me says that's pretty defensive. The problem is when you look at all the barrier characters, I'm going to read them. Here's every character with barrier, and which is why I don't think people are prepared for barrier. I don't think people are plotting for it, so to speak. You have Captain Cold, who is
dog shit.
Pretty bad. He's not good enough at 60. You'd have to play him at 60, and that doesn't feel very good. Polka Dot Man. I want him
to be on barrier, but there's no guarantee he'll stay there.
Yeah, I don't love that. You have the other Mr. Freeze at 50, who is, I don't love him. I really don't. Cosmic King. At 70, that's ridiculous. Iron Man at 60. To me, Scarlet Witch is so much better for half the points and does almost the same exact thing. Then you have Mr. Freeze that I tout, and then you have Jean Grey at 35 points, which I do think is a good piece in power. Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yes.
35 points.
So I'm going to add her in the scratch space as well.
Yeah, for those who don't know, she has TK, barrier, leadership, empower,
flight, 5 range, and when she's targeted by an attack after an illusion, you may place her adjacent to a friendly character within range. That's an interesting, weird power. She has X-Men too as well, which if you are playing wild cards might come up, but she just does a lot. And I'll add Mr. Freeze to scratch space. So I did win a major pulp event with Mr. Freeze. I cannot recall which one, but I did win one with him. Why is Mr. Freeze good? So he has barrier straight off the bat. He has outwit, which is also good. He shoots through blocking, which is very good. He has a freeze ray thing that says knockback. And when he hits with a range attack, choose one. Hit characters are given an action token. Hit characters can't use speed powers until your next turn. So he's a very good follow up when you get Alphed. And he has that power his entire turn dial. And he also does pair with Night Nurse because he's scientist. And I do like that combo quite a bit because now they go up and, you know, even if they energy explode you or I don't know what they really do. Most of the teams hit for only so much. And if you can't get rid of, you know, I guess you're outwitting is the hope, you know, but yep. I don't know. I think he's worth the scratch space, but that is it. That's every fucking character with barrier, eight characters and Captain Cold, Polka Dot Man, Original Mr. Freeze, Cosmic King, Iron Man are dog shit.
Yep.
That means you have three fucking things. Oh, and he has a rally die. I think it's once per turn, it's a two. So if anybody rolls an attack roll, if I roll an attack roll of two, then he can do two barriers for free.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome, yes. I just like him a lot. I don't know, the speed power thing didn't come up a lot, but dealing people damage and with the six range running shot, the 10 swing was actually pretty big. I found quite a bit. 10 swings higher than a lot of characters just in general right now. So I liked it. And the tokening up people really created some good tempo. So that's all you can do for barrier. So then the question is stealth good? Orb can't see through stealth.
No, but versus everybody else. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you consider playing stealth? You know, is stealth a reasonable option? My thoughts are you could probably clam in a couple stealth pieces, but it doesn't feel perfect.
That's how I don't think stealth is a power that you build around. I think stealth is a power that if it happens, like if you end up having it, great. But I don't think you plan for it.
Yeah, and I think the problem with it is they're going to Blackheart and then they're going to potentially charge you, you know, if but I don't think it's terrible. I like the let's talk about the high defense thing because you did a good touch base on that. So really the two characters I can think of that could go in the high defense club are either Ghost Rider to share with a 19 with everybody.
Once they're hit.
No, I mean, he does just have defenders in the 19 as well.
Yeah, but you need to copy defenders on characters for them to share that 19.
Correct. Yes, I get that. I get that. Sometimes you do just get that shit, though. Like, for example, Hulk just has defenders. Just looking at the team of defenders, though, you're probably not super getting it. You know, you got the Doctor Strange that's 40 points. It's very good. You have the 60 point Doctor Strange is pretty good. But for the sake of argument, let's put Militant in here. And let's put him on the actual team. Sure. So now he's a 19. And then let's go with the Doctor Strange that you liked. What's ironic about the whole thing is I really do feel like you could actually play three Doctor Stranges and be okay. Like that's a reasonable team, in my opinion.
It'd definitely be hard to take down.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, they're all good. They're all defensive. So then you put on Manifold, and Manifold always goes in at 30, but God, I love him. He is good at 75 too, but he's
very good at 75, but 30 is just so damn good.
So good. Yeah. You know, in different formats, you'd play two of them. So now if you're playing Scarlet Witch and Militant and Doctor Strange, admittedly, a problem here is how do you get into this formation? But everyone's a 21.
Yep.
Everyone's a 21. Now, the question only thing
you really have to worry about right now is Blue Marvel.
Mm-hmm. You're really just worried about Blue Marvel and you're worried about Orb because Orb could critically hit you and really fuck up your shit.
Yeah, that ruins your day if he crit hits for sure.
Which is not impossible. So then what about Spiderling? Because couldn't Spiderling could you guarantee the one on Spiderling?
So here's the thing. So Spiderling, what you would do is if you're planning defensively, which it sounds like that's what we're trying to go for.
That was the statement I made at the beginning.
Yep. So if you're planning defensively, what you would do is you would plan a two on Spiderling if you're facing an orb.
Because two would likely miss, and then
so what happens is the character who's attacking, they have to do the replacement first. So probs happen first for the character that's or the team that's attacking. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the opposing and then back to the friendly and then back to the opposing and then back to the friendly until all probs are used. And then the same thing happens with dice replacements. So let's assume orb rolls a one, a singular one. You would have to say, orb, are you going to replace the one? They would say yes. And then Spiderling would say, well, I'm going to replace that one with a two. And now it's a three.
I like that. I think that's, and then that actually makes a miss. I think that Spiderling might honestly be playable just because of this exact moment in time. I'm not a huge Spiderling fan. I don't like things like that. And then also do note, I could be wrong, but doesn't Blue Marvel, if they pulse wave, doesn't it just go away?
The die?
Yeah.
Oh, why would it go away?
I don't know. You have to re-choose or something like that and you can't?
No. It stays there. It stays there until you use it, and it's once per game. So
all right. So playing the home version for everybody, Doctor Strange, 75 points. Militant, 50. Spiderling, 40, which is kind of painful. Scarlet Witch, 35. Manifold, 30. And you're sitting at a going to be hard to attack, but you're only at 230.
21 defense for everybody at 230 points.
Yeah.
So let's just play with it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and throw Necron, Blackheart, and Orb on there once.
I would like to actually not put Necron on. And here's why. I think that might be an energy explosion target because he's a giant. But let's put Blackheart on there because we have to. Let's put Orb on there.
Okay. So do zero.
And then do we have enough characters that can carry here? Let's see. Is Blackheart carrying anybody else in this?
Well, he's taking Orb up despite
and Strange.
Orb and Scarlet Witch is what he's taking up.
Yep. Or Strange.
And Manifold can carry two characters.
Doctor Strange is mystical.
Yeah, but you want to take Scarlet Witch because she doesn't fly, right?
Yep. Manifold is carrying two characters. That is big.
Yeah, and then or does Scarlet Witch have flight or no? I don't remember.
Scarlet Witch does not.
Yeah, so realistically what happens is Blackheart takes Scarlet Witch and Orb. Doctor mm-hmm. Strange carries somebody and Manifold takes the rest, which actually Manifold is taking Spiderling and Militant. So Doctor Strange can move up on his own carrying whoever we have left for 75 points.
That makes sense to us. So we have 75 points left and we need like what the best possible attacker is, what the best possible character is in general. It is very hard for me not to put Blue Marvel on this team. Or yes.
Either Blue Marvel or Red Widow. I think Red Widow actually might.
Ooh.
I think Red Widow is better. What do we have for close attackers? We have Manifold for a close attacker. We have Militant for a close attacker.
I think
we already have Pulse Wave with Blackheart. I think Red Widow is better here.
I think the answer is that we need to try to figure out how to get Red Widow on the team.
Maybe we have to drop Orb.
Is Orb, and do we have, we have Prob already.
Yeah, Doctor Strange has Prob, Spiderling has Prob.
Yep, so we have double Prob. Orb.
Drop Orb, add Red Widow and Blackheart. How many points are we at?
I will say this, though, the Spiderling combo with Orb, if you're going first, is so fucking broken.
It's good. It really is. But we want a well-rounded team and we're facing opposing orbs. So we have to choose two. Remember?
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. I'm just trying to see if there's anybody. So, all right. Let's see who has. Does anybody besides Militant have leadership?
On this team? No. I don't think Strange has it, right?
No, Doctor Strange does not. This version does not.
Yeah. So realistically, I would say, like, let's just humor me here. Drop orb.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I think you drop orb. And put on Red Widow. I mean, Red Widow is better than Orb in many cases. All right.
25 point leadership in Pulp.
There might be, but we have it with Militant, right?
Oh, sure. Because we have 25 points left.
We do. My favorite 25 point character that I think is very, very good is, oh God, she's DC and she has Starfire.
Oh, sure.
I really like Starfire. It's 6 range, 10 swing, and she has enhancement. She's honestly one of the better attackers, and she's 25 points.
11
and
for free with enhancement. I don't hate that at all.
It helps with Doctor Strange, helps with Blackheart, helps with Blue Marvel, obviously.
We have Outwit. We have Perplex Prob.
Oh yeah, that's why Scarlet Witch also has probs. So we had 3 probs on the team too.
Yeah, Switch is his only defensive, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of, I mean, it's a little bit what we care about in this scenario.
That's fair.
So that's 300 points, and we'll post this team on the Pulp thing. And but basically, that would be what. So if they go up, yes, they can see it, but can they hit it? And I think that that's a big debate. I mean, you still have the orb thing where, yes, he could hit anybody. I have no idea how Necron hits this.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing with Spiderling. If you choose a 2,
yes,
you're not hitting.
Yes.
With
you're not hitting the crit. Yeah, you can't hit the crit if Spiderling chooses a 2.
And even if orb rolls a 6 on one of his D6s. A 2, let's say he crit hits naturally, 6-6. Then you replace one of the 6s with a 2, that makes it an 8. He still misses because 8 plus 11 is 19. He needs to be bumped to a 13 in order to hit. Now he can do that depending on the perplexes and the elevation.
Mm-hmm.
The likelihood of all of that going right for him is pretty fucking low.
It really is.
So you got to at some point you got to realize like, oh, I got to play the odds. I just have to accept the probability of what's happening here. So and if Orb isn't crit hitting on his alpha or even hitting on his alpha, that means Necron's not healing, which means that whole alpha plan probably doesn't work out the way they wanted it to.
All right, let's bring in. So are we as worried about alpha striking? So if we're picking a map, do we pick something that is more blocked up? Do we pick something that's straight on?
We have for close attackers, we have Red Widow, we have Militant.
Mm-hmm. So Red Widow, really. Yeah. So we're looking at range.
So for range attackers, we have Doctor Strange, Blue Marvel, and Starfire. All of which I would say do not. Starfire has a little bit more, but realistically, Doctor Strange and Blue Marvel don't have a super far reach with their range attacks, relatively speaking.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So realistically, I think a blocked in map such as Morlock Tunnels is probably worthwhile just for the positioning and the moving around and the ability to barrier and. I like it a lot.
I would agree. I think what you want is you want to avoid them having surprise angles. So
especially if you're facing an opposing Necron.
Yep. So indoors is good too. Indoors is something we obviously need a, let's see. I'm just looking through all the maps here. You don't want anything with a lot of elevation. I don't think elevation is really your friend in this scenario.
Agreed.
Star-Lord
ship is a fine map.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think I like Prison Break better just for angles. Like it's going to be hard for them to line up outwits. I think the problem with this is like Strange. He can be outwitted. So now you can outwit his invincible and his energy shield.
That requires 2 separate outwits, though.
Oh, you can outwit his You can outwit his defend energy shield, not his energy shield.
Yeah, because the invincible and the ESD are traded, so that requires two separate outwits. And like realistically, Strange isn't going to be in the front, so it's fine.
Yep. Do we want Robinson Park just as a, or not maybe Robinson Park, but one of the really, really, really open maps, just as a maybe?
So I think if you're going to go with an outdoor open map, I think you choose like Wakanda, the short Wakanda, because it just enables reach.
Let's see that versus what's the other one? Is it Robinson Park does have less stealth and we only have one stealth person, right?
Red Widow. Yeah.
I think that we would probably pick Robinson Park because sure. Stealth is an advantage to them, not to us.
Go for it.
And then what else do you want here? Just like blocked up, but not Morlock tunnels, right?
Yeah, I mean, at that point,
locked up small.
I don't hate Atlantis throne room, actually, or shield holding facility. Shield holding facility is fine.
I would agree. I think shield holding facility is perfect. So that's what we do. And then last thing is there anybody on the sideline that we would any sideline pieces?
I don't think so.
See, Waller is Suicide Squad, Politician, Spy, Arkham Asylum. So I don't think that they could kill.
No, I don't think we have any of those. You'd be better off looking at all of your characters. Just like clicking on them.
Red Widow is a spy.
Oh, I guess you could. Yeah, I guess you could put Waller on the sideline for that then.
You got to kill two of them is the problem. So if you don't have two, what's the value? I don't think anybody's Suicide Squad.
We didn't end up putting Mr. Freeze on this. I want to point out.
We did not.
But we decided that we did decide that Scarlet Witch was a better barrier piece. So it's fine.
I think it's just a cheaper barrier piece for what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the big
a more efficient barrier piece there.
Doctor Strange is a big swing. That's really what it comes down to. Doctor Strange is, if you're playing the Doctor Strange high defense, that is, it's a lot. You have 125 points tied up between Militant and Doctor Strange. The only thing I think is shaky on this team would be just Militant's technically only doing plus one to defense over Doctor Strange, you know? And
yeah, but that points, plus one but, compounds when you're like in hindering and have ESC.
I would agree. I understand. I do think that is good, and maybe that is the reason to play to consider Wakanda, just because it makes range attacks even harder for people. You are going to a 22 for range, and then you have Blackheart that could potentially move. who's the other person Blackheart moves? Doctor Strange and anybody? Lucas? Are you dead? Lucas died, everyone. Lucas died. I think you're moving. Yeah, that's not good. Mystical. Blackheart only moves Doctor Strange now. That's not good. So I would think that maybe Blackheart, I think you have to play it, but that's tough. I don't know. Red Widow maybe doesn't make it because of that. Red Widow is the best character. All right. So Lucas obviously completely dead now. Not sure what happened or why this is happening. But that was largely what we wanted to talk about.
Hey, I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. I assume you're trying to throw up.
No, my computer was just blue screened. That was wild.
Oh, that's crazy. So yeah, the problem just like that the we have right now is we have Blackheart, but he can't carry anybody. He doesn't poof anybody. We don't have
him. Yes, he does.
Just Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch.
That's not good, man.
Yeah, but we're not focusing on this team as an offensive powerhouse. I would say, like, if you want to be able to enable,
I'd make an argument to say we don't play Blackheart, as crazy as that is.
Yeah, sure. Replace Blackheart with 40-point Doctor Strange. And then put Aunt May on there.
Don't hate that. Let's see. Let me just double check. So why are we replacing with 40-point Doctor? Oh, the TK?
TK leadership perplex. Another running shot attacker that's an 11 for 3.
Yeah.
He makes longs and astrals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then Aunt May, obviously, like if the big Doctor Strange takes damage, Aunt May just heals him.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe you play with no Blackheart, but I think that's probably the call. Okay.
We're focusing on a defensive strategy in order to counter the Blackheart or Necron core. I think it's a decent, like, nothing dies in one hit on this team realistically.
Strange,
unless you position badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you would have to position badly for the most part. Strange, if you're worried about Orb, you leave Strange back because he has really good reach on his own because he can TK himself for free.
Yeah, he does. So we have double TK as well, which is on a 400 point build with double leadership. That might be okay.
Yep.
It might be okay. But like
everything else on the team that we built is fairly durable. So having the Aunt May available to be able to heal things up again makes their attacks feel a little bit more risky. And then if you add, like, on top of that, Orb has his effect where if he crit misses naturally, or not him, sorry, if another friendly character on his team crit misses naturally, he can turn it into a crit hit, but then he can't use his effect for the rest of the game. Well, if those crit hits aren't killing anything, then it's not that big of a deal. Like, even in opposing, like, let's look at this objectively from, like, an opposing blue Marvel pulse wave. If an opposing blue Marvel pulse waves us, and let's say it's the worst thing that can possibly happen, and everything takes 2 damage, do we actually care? I think the answer to that is no.
Even Militant isn't a big deal. He's
exactly
18 for 3 clicks.
Exactly. Nothing feels terrible. Yeah, Blue Marvel gets knocked off of his running shot, but we have Aunt May to heal him back up. Red Widow still has her speed power. Spiderling might get hit off of her. She gets hit off of her.
What happens if you damage power? So, like, she always has that die, even if she's down power.
Correct. She just can't use it unless the power is showing.
What happens is she becomes a healer. She heals somebody, and then Manifold gets her. Manifold's probably the biggest one.
Sure. Yes, Manifold is a big one. But then again, like, if we're talking about a 2 damage pulse wave to everything on the team, you have now 2 healers. You have Spiderling and you have Aunt May. So we can heal Blue Marvel and Manifold back up. And we really don't feel that far out of the game at this point. Cause, like, Doctor Strange doesn't care. Militant doesn't care. Red Widow doesn't care. It all feels fine.
It does. Yeah. It's a very, very durable team. And on top of that, in some scenarios, like an Orb scenario, they're taking at least 2 Mystic, 3 Mystics if they hit everybody,
which is perfect.
Yeah.
And then you have some wild cards. Like, Manifold's a wild card. You have access to Teen Titans DA or Spider-Man ally. So, like, Manifold can copy Spider-Man ally from the start and just have the Spider-Man, the rollout, the super senses on a 6. Yeah, it's only on a 6, but it's fine. But then, like, Militant has Hydra. So Manifold can copy that to give the -1 to the defense, or Manifold can copy the Teen Titans from Starfire, and you can just take power actions to heal characters back up. So let's say a character gets hit for 1. Let's say Blue Marvel gets shot for 3 damage, but it's not penetrating. He gets hit for 1 damage.
Yeah,
punched.
Yep.
Because obviously if he gets shot, he's coming back up. Well, you can just Teen Titans heal him with Starfire or Manifold, like, and then get him back to full that way.
Well, how does Blue Marvel have? Are you saying Blue Marvel?
No.
Manifold.
They can copy Teen Titans, or do both of them go to Starfire once?
Starfire has Teen Titans, yeah.
Do both of them need to have Teen Titans? I forgot how that shit works.
Yeah, they do.
Never mind.
You'll have to heal Blue Marvel traditionally.
But, like, Starfire could heal Manifold then in that case. Like, it's very niche, but it could happen.
All right. And carrier wise, Doctor Strange carries one. Blue Marvel carries one. Manifold carries two. And then
Starfire carries one.
And Starfire carries one. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yep.
Which is perfect because we already talked about five characters being carried. So, yeah. Yep.
That works. So you got your four actions. Your whole team is mobile enough.
And it's 400 points. So you have five actions if you really need it.
Yep. So you're mobile enough. You can TK somebody as opposed to carrying them if you feel like that's better somehow or something of that nature. I think the only thing with this build is Doctor Strange at 75 points is much worse without Black Art because he's lacking moving attack. And
but you're using him as a defensive figure rather than an offensive, and I think it's fine.
Yeah, but you're also adding plus one to defense by going this direction because Doctor Strange has the 40-point Doctor Strange has perplex. So you also get a double perplex up defense on top of everything.
Yep.
I think, right? Who else? Scarlet Witch has it. Yeah, so.
Yep.
And I think probably what you're doing with your fifth action is you're probably barriering first, then Scarlet Witch goes up. And then
And you can barrier five squares away if she's adjacent to Manifold.
Yep, which I think you would probably want to do. I like it. What do you think? Is this a team that can win?
Absolutely. No, I think pulp, there is a certain level of pulp gameplay where you have to look at it objectively and go, okay, what figures are actually good? Which ones are worth playing? But once you've hit that threshold of like, okay, these are the 20 characters or 30 characters that are actually worth playing, it's going to come down a lot quicker to the caliber of player that is piloting and how well they can pilot said figures. I think that any character or any pilot worth their salt could take this team and go, you know what? I understand the objective of what this team is going for, and I'm going to make something happen. And I can see how they could make like 21 defense, especially when there's not a whole lot of ways around it in pulp. I could see that going very far. With moderate dice luck.
Yeah, I can too. And honestly, when you look at the top figures, they're sending Necron and Orb towards you a lot. And then if they're not doing that, they're sending Poison Ivy towards you. And Poison Ivy is going to have a hard time hitting through Manifold. Necron, Orb, or and then you go down, you go on the list. Red Widow could definitely still hit you. Red Widow is good, but Red Widow, I think the only way to bring Red Widow is it Falcon, or is there no way to bring Red Widow?
It's probably Falcon or TK from Doctor Strange. Yeah.
So Falcon's the only way to really bring Red Widow, which is a viable strategy. I do want to say that out. Yep. I love Falcon.
This team can take a hit. This team can take a punch. Mm-hmm. It's okay if something KOs. I mean, we have 10 figures. If one figure dies, it doesn't mean the end of the world here. You know, a lot of times what players forget is they hear that, oh, I need to alpha or I need to have the initial hit in order to have any chance of winning HeroClix games. And they put everything they have into landing that alpha strike. And then what happens? They get clapped back by four attacks and lose the game. Because so like this team does a really good job of absorbing a hit. It takes a hit really well. And then it goes, all right, you hit me once, maybe twice, maybe even three times, but I'm about to land five attacks on you.
Yes.
And
absolutely. And being able to TK up Red Widow is going to be big. You have a good shot of getting like if they come at you, I don't think that they survive. There's enough like Orb can chew, not Orb, Red Widow can chew through basically anybody.
The other thing to keep in mind is depending on how their alpha is lined up, you have a two loaded potentially on Spiderling. So let's say they come in with Red Widow. Well, if Orb is not in a position to attack or they're not playing Orb, then use that two on Red Widow and force her to miss.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, somebody's going to probably miss. You're making it very much like they don't want to do it. I don't love that. I don't feel like I can like alpha somebody if I go first kind of thing. It makes it feel like the more obvious solution here is, I guess with what I'm saying is without Blackheart on the team, it does make it seem very obvious that if you win, you pick map. That's how.
Yeah, you pick map. You control the tempo of the game. You force your opponent to come to you.
If they go to us, you if they are playing us, I think that they're going to say like, okay, well, can you get to me? And the answer is probably not. So they're going to probably pick map. You're kind of stuck in the I'm going to move up scenario.
And so we have what, two perplexes?
Yes. Two perplexes, two TKs.
Yep. So one TK. Oh no, two TKs. You're right. So yeah, like we have full map reach on a small map for sure.
That's true. And you could so Scarlet Witch sidesteps up TKs, Dr. Strange literally can just TK,
TKs himself, and then he TKs a different character. Yep. So you're TKing Blue Marvel to 5, TK Blue Marvel to 9, you're running shots to 13, pulse waves the back line. Yeah, like you have full map reach on a small map.
And you don't even need the perplexes.
Yeah, you don't even need the perplexes. You could put it all into attack if you want.
So he's a 13 pulse wave and a force blast pulse wave. So you don't really want to pick a small map and go first.
Exactly.
Pick a small map and let us go first. If it's a big map, I think we're very positioned. Yeah, there's a high likelihood this is what I'll probably play.
It would work just fine.
Yeah, I had built a different team. I'm just going to mention it real quick before we go.
Who's your 2v2 partner, by the way?
Matt Esbrook.
Oh, it's Matt. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So Orange's Pulp is what I had built. I wasn't there yet, but I just kind of put Elektra, Blackheart, Blue Marvel, Deathstroke, Orb, Red Widow, Necron, and Zeroth. But the honest truth is I didn't love this because it just felt like I'm just going to get Blackhearted, you know, I'm just going to attack 3 or 4 times.
And I think with what you built here, you were absolutely correct. You were about to get Blackhearted every game.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I'm saying this, folks, from a perspective of a judge for this tournament, I have no horse in this race. I'm being very objective here. And like, I'm not, even if I do play to fill in for another player, because that might happen, I'm just playing to have fun at that point. Like, this is all very much just like me looking at it through the lens of a judge. And yeah, I think that objectively speaking, the defensive team that we just put together is probably one of the best chances you have at surviving average dice on a Blackheart, Necron, Orb team.
And honestly, like a lot of times you're still their dice have to be tens a lot of times to really hit.
Yeah.
So Critical Clicks Pulp Team 400 points is how you would search this. So feel free to look that up if you want. I'll try to remember to post this when the episode actually comes out. But until next time, this is Scott and Lucas reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
I was not joking, by the way. I actually have been drunk all day.
So. Oh, I agree. I understood. Like, you didn't let on until right at the end where I'm like, oh, he's mixing words up.
Yeah, I started slurring at the end. I realized that. So my bad.